It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of Sports, Sports Talk Live. This is Powell County Sports Network doing sports
live.
Sometimes I get those, as the did that show for, 11 or 12 years, and sometimes habits are difficult to break. I do apologize. Again, this is PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Some updates real quick. We'll go to COVID updates in a moment, but first, I guess the big news last week was the KHSA came out with recommendations that they would start September 7th through the 11th. The Kentucky Board of Education met, and a little bit of concern there for the sports folks was they may go back on that. Governor Beshear, went along with the KHSA recommendations. And I guess now the Board of Education sent a letter to the KHSA with their own recommendations, which I believe were to alter the 7th through the 11th. But from my understanding, the KHSA is going to stand pat on the 7th through the 11th, and we're starting next week.
And let's hope so. I mean, at this point, I think that, you know, I realize that KDE, I guess by the time they were able to assemble themselves and kind of go over what KHSAA had decided to do to come out with, you know, their little plan or whatever else, but to me, little too late, kind of. I mean, I think that once everybody has made that mental adjustment, thinking, okay, we're starting Monday the 7th, you know, as far as games through the 11th, and then all of a sudden be like, maybe we need to kind of step back and take another look at it. I don't know. I think that's kind of...
Well, at this point, I think where we are is sports are go on September 7th, which is next week. The local health departments and the superintendent board of education, local boards of education, can make changes.
And always could.
Correct. So yes. Now it's back to the local level to make the decisions. And that goes as far as spectators, how many spectators, the numbers, all that fun stuff now falls to local level to determine that. I did talk to Darryl Billings the other night about that, and he told me, I said, are you all meeting on spectator numbers? He said, that's not up to us. That's up to the local districts. So the local districts now have to figure out how many and who will get those seats to the games and the percentage of the stands that the health department will sign off on.
Well, what's interesting is that when you look at the size of the Powell County gym, there is plenty of room. Let's just use volleyball as the example. There is plenty of room during a volleyball match to allow the normal crowds that we would normally see. And obviously that gym is not full really until you start getting into district time basketball wise, in a sense along those lines. Not you don't have good crowds, but yet capacity wise, that obviously would be an issue at that time.
On a good night on a volleyball game, you have 200 folks. That's only 10% that's less than 10% of capacity of the gym. Therefore, if they come out with 25%, you're well within your range to get 400 people in the gym.
Right.
So you could have a lot bigger crowd than what they normally have. But I would think there will be some distancing measures that are taking place as far as where you can sit. And those things will be done by the district level. I'm sure the athletic director and, the health department working together will kind of come up with those guidelines. And we'll know more about those next week. I know we have Ken Jones will be on with us tonight here in a few minutes. We'll talk a little bit more about that with him and see if he knows anything, because really I only know a little bit about what's going on just by what folks tell me and what I understand. So like I said, again, we're a go as far as the 7th. And again, I think sometimes this is we'll see how this goes. And kind of that way, I know we've had an issue here locally with some cases. So I, again, everything is still go here. I think there's one program shut down for probably another week for a case or two. But they'll be up and running here soon. But they won't get to start, I don't think, on time. They may be able, and it may be next week when they can start if they're all get it all clear. But again, there have been some cases here, but they may be cleared up by the time season starts.
And I think when you think about, let's again using volleyball as the example, just the gymnasium, I think it's going to be interesting to see how all of a sudden you mark off the seating, right, in order to allow people to come in. Now, at that point, are you just letting people kind of sit where they may and then having someone to kind of direct, be like, oh, well, you can't sit in that aisle or that row, whatever, and kind of spread out, or people kind of do that on their own? So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of mark seats along those lines. And then football, starting on the 11th, a home game against Prestonsburg, how will that even kind of take place in the stands, you know, as far as the seating arrangements along those lines? So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of behind-the-scenes work that's going to have to be done prior to admission, if you will, people, you know, fans being able to come into the game. And at that point, I don't know, it's definitely going
to
be interesting.
To me, the first game is always going to be the hardest. It's kind of going to be this is kind of our starting point. I do think sometimes, you know, we've been to these fields where people are set up with tents and their lawn chairs.
Yeah.
Okay, and around the track, for example. Well, that may be something that you look at, because it would probably increase some seating, allow for some social distancing, if they're sitting in with their families. Now, if they're not sitting with families, if they're in there like a tailgate, that probably can't happen. But that's where you have to have a fine check. If not, you have to have your chairs staggered 6 to 8 feet apart along the track, and in your stands you could have seating. So I think the seating, let's say there's 1,000 people come to a game. If you space it out, you could probably still get everybody there that normally comes to a football game. If you had a big crowd like a Nestle County, Powell County game, and you may get 2,500, there you might have some issues getting everybody in that at the field. So, again, they'll come up with some numbers, some guidelines, I would assume, by when that's needed. But maybe we'll have Mr. Brewer on here sometime to be able to discuss that with him and some other things, and I may give him a call tonight, see if he can talk a little bit about that.
I mean, I think on one hand, it goes back to, obviously, people are going to be excited to be able to get out.
Yes.
Right? To see sports. And I think who's going to be policing, in a sense, right? Okay, are you family? You're not family. Oh, you're too close. You're like, at what point are you intervening kind of to get people to kind of move about, in a sense, to get that social distancing? So it's going to be challenging for everyone, and obviously we're creatures of habit, so therefore you normally go to the same seating section, you try to normally get that same spot that you always have, and now at this point, well, maybe that's not your new spot, in a sense, and now Correct. If somebody gets there before you do, then all of a sudden that might kick you down on an end or something. So it'd be interesting as a social experiment. If you're a, you know, psychologist or something, this would probably, or a sociologist, I should say, this would almost be a great social experiment, just to see the reactions of how people interact along those lines.
I think the entire 2020 year was a good social experiment that's gone bad.
Well, so, you're exactly right.
I mean, there's so many. Woo, if you brought some psychologists into this country right now, man, do they see some problems that are going on in this. But again, I think it's all kind of intertwined, you know, as far as you've got COVID, you've got natural disasters, you've got political issues, there's so many things that are all kind of intertwined that are just kind of, people are at the boiling points, and it is what it is.
I know probably, you know, New Year's Eve heading into 2021, I am sure there will be millions, if not billions, around the world that will definitely
a different, better year,
right? Yeah. And not that it didn't start off well in many respects, but at the same time, it kind of went south very quickly.
It didn't take long. We'll go ahead and wait for a second. You got the COVID numbers for today?
Yeah. What's interesting as far as even the COVID numbers and everything is that, you know, I've looked up nationally. There's over 6 million cases nationally, 184,083 deaths that have actually occurred. And in the last 7 days, almost 300,000 new cases across the country. Then when you look at here in Kentucky, 894,808 cases. So almost that 900,000, getting close to a million in overall cases.
How many today? Did you get that number?
Yeah, today's numbers, let me find it. We have 816 new cases, 18 new deaths. So the cases, you know, it's crazy, right? I mean, all of a sudden we're down to that, you know, 400 and 500. Now all of a sudden we've kind of shot back up that 700. Now we're up to 800.
Well, I think that if you listen to the governor, which I don't think everybody does, but if you do listen to the governor, I think this still falls in the range of the plateau. I think it last week the numbers were higher. That's the highest week we've had. This week may surpass last week. My prediction, and we said this before, it's probably the second week in September, we'll have a spike. So I'm still going to make my prediction for 2 weeks from now. We come back, I think we may have the highest week of the year in 2 weeks. So if that's the case, puts a lot of questions out there for what's going on.
Yeah, so of the, you know, the 895,000 total cases, almost 50,000 have tested positive. So the positivity rate, 4.71, which, you know, it's
still
been
below five.
It's below five, and it has been for a little bit here lately, which is nice to see. At the same time, you know, it's still far too many. Locally, we have four additional cases as of today. Two are linked to previously reported cases. So total case number here in Powell County, 79. 74 have recovered, and there are five active cases currently. Now, there for a while, we went days with zero cases.
I think we had,
last week
seven
we had,
out of the 8 days of the last, or 7 out of the last 9 days, I think it was zero.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then, the other one was one.
And then last week we had two cases.
Yeah. So,
you know, so at this point we've had, you know,
doubled it.
Well, actually we had one case, we had two cases. One was recovered in a sense. And then now we've got the four new cases, but still, our numbers are, you know, still maintaining that, you know, that low threshold. At the same time, we still have to be diligent.
Well, four's a lot. If you look at the last couple of weeks.
Too many.
So, again, we'll talk more about that in a moment. We'll come back with Coach Ken Jones here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
It's summer clearance time going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Get the best deals of the year right now. From the economical 2020 Jeep Renegade to the most awarded SUV in the country, the 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, the deals have never been better. Rebates up to $6,000 on Jeep products, and as always, the best atmosphere to buy a new car. The no-hassle sales staff and exceptional service team. Make now the time to buy. Don't forget that rates are as low as 0%. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway, exit 22 in Stanton.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a brand new phone but really don't want to pay hundreds of dollars up front for it? Then Appalachian Wireless has the deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage plan. Instead of paying $400 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and a few bucks more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin. Faster, closer, better.
And welcome back to BCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And we'll be now be joined by the legend himself, Coach Ken Jones, Powell County head volleyball coach. And, Coach, how you been doing?
I've been doing good, Dave. Staying busy. You and Ken doing all right?
Hanging in there.
Fair to Midland's about all I'm going to say. I've had a round of the shingles, so I can't shake them.
Uh-oh. Well, you should have got the shot last year.
Well, I didn't. They say it's for over 60, and I've not hit 60 yet. So, but I, okay. I tell you what, if somebody would have told me a shot last year, I'd have got one over rather than going through this. So, that being said, how have practices been going this week and last week?
Well, it's been going pretty good. Girls been working hard. We got our roster pared down to 25 now, so we're good to go Monday night.
And Monday night, you have who coming in?
Bath County.
Go ahead.
Got Bath County on Monday, and then we're home for Lee County district game on Wednesday, and then we go to Buckhorn on Thursday.
So you're busy the first
week.
Busy
week coming in.
So you're home,
busy
home and away?
Week coming in. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And varsity games this year starting at 6. I think I told you that.
You texted me that, and I told Ken a while ago. If you look at the KHSA webpage, I think the varsity games are still at 7, but those now will be at 6.
I changed those yesterday. I don't know if somebody changed them back or not. But
well, Ken's got one printed out. He may have printed that earlier.
Yeah.
So explain to the listeners, though, why was that decision even made to change the times?
I have no clue. They came out with a bunch of policies, protocols, and so on that are different this year. And the number one thing on everybody's mind, of course, is safety and health of the kids. So they're trying every way possible to prevent the COVID from coming in.
And so, therefore, probably just changing the times to have the varsity start at 6 just to make sure that you get the game that matters or the match that matters out of the way, really, basically. Is that probably what your train of thought is?
Well, I don't know. I've asked on that, but I still don't understand it myself, Ken.
Okay.
So the games last year where you had freshman JV varsity, will you still be allowed to play the freshman games now, or is it just going to be?
No, The freshmen are out. We didn't even pick a freshman team once we saw the BOC regulations. And freshmen's out, and we're only playing 2 out of 3 sets every match this year.
Wow.
So it's short games.
Yeah.
So you may have a game that lasts 30 minutes.
Well, you know me, always when it came down to the choice, the option, like it was last year, I would say 3 out of 5, but it's going 2 out of 3 this year.
Now, what about district?
So, yeah, it'll be short.
Have they made tournament decisions on how those will go? Will that be 3 out of 5?
Well, they're all going to be the same, and the district, as far as the seeding goes, the first match is the one that counts.
Okay, so if you play Lee County on Wednesday, and the second game gets canceled,
the following week.
Okay, but if the second game got canceled, the first game is the one matters for seeding.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Has that kind of change as far as going from, you know, the five sets to the three, has that changed anything as far as your approach or anything with your team? I mean, obviously you want to come out and you want to, you know, take the two out of three or the three out of five and get out of there basically, but has it changed your approach?
Yeah, we've got and the home team is serving first every time. So, well, every time first set, and then it'll go. There's no coin toss going to be held this year until the deciding set.
So basically, they're taking a lot of the times where people are together to do things out of the format.
Right. That's what they're trying to do, is get the distancing in, and, you know, no captains meeting at the post and flipping the coin, and so it's just set. I don't know if it's all been finalized yet. You know how things are changing day to day, but as of right now, that's the way it is.
Any word on attendance?
They're still working out the details on that. I asked this afternoon, and still nothing for sure on that.
Yeah, Ken and I talked a little bit about that before you came on, and I do know that now it's a district level or local level as far as how many people can come in.
Yeah, it's up to the local, whatever they decide, and I think Owsley County's already decided and come out with a statement no fans would be attending this year.
Really?
So.
Wow.
Does this... Yeah, back to the original. Yeah, the two out of three and us serving first, we got to get out of the gate quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dave.
You're good. You're good. I mean, it's really, I guess if you look at it, three out of five, two out of three, you still want to get a fast start. You don't want to lose set one regardless when you're playing a two out of three or a three out of five. But just puts a whole lot more pressure on set two.
Yeah, I've always thought set two was the dangerous one, because if you win set one big time, then it's just human nature. They're going to relax a little bit, and the other team's going to fight a little harder.
I totally agree with that thought.
So as far as even, you know, with the new guidelines and everything, what would the benches even look like? Any idea as far as the players, where you kind of have to even do some spacing there? Will the kids have to wear a mask while they're even on the bench?
Yeah, the subs on the bench have got a mask up. The coaches got to keep a mask on the entire time. And we've got to have 6 feet apart on the bench between the subs.
So you still have to have the 6 feet apart?
Right.
And mask.
And they've got to wear a mask.
So that's going to take a lot of... Are you going to seat both sides of the...
I have no clue. I was thinking today it may be better to put the benches on one side, and if we're allowed fans, put them on the other side. That way we could have two rows of chairs over there for the subs.
What would it be possible that you put each set of subs on the end zone? On the ends of the gym?
Well, I don't know what they're going to arrange on that.
I'm just trying to troubleshoot here from hearing that. That's kind of
me
a.
Too.
If you had, let's say, what do you got? What do you usually carry? 15 on the varsity roster?
You're allowed to dress 15.
So that means nine?
So you've got six on the floor. There'll be nine girls there. That'll be,
54 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have 54 feet somewhere, plus your other coach. So we're talking 66 feet.
Well, they won't have to worry about me.
No.
I'm not going to sit down that much.
Well, but I mean, so technically you need 60 feet of space.
Right.
Even the end zone wouldn't be big enough, would it?
No.
Well, so, kick that thought out. That was a bad thought, Dave.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been playing with it since last Tuesday, but. I don't know. We may have to go with double rows. They thought about at the start doing like college. If you watch a college game, the subs all stand at one end of the bench, but they're gathered up down there.
Right.
So they threw that out.
Well, you may have to go to one team on one side, the other team on the other side, and don't switch sides. Maybe your fans are on the bench side and the opponent's fans are on the other side.
Well, that would be a possibility. So, and they've also limited the score table personnel. The home scorer and the timekeeper and libero tracker are the only ones allowed at the score table.
So three folks.
Yes. The visiting team scorer has to sit somewhere else, probably on the bench, if we can get a bench there.
Because they're not official, correct?
Right.
All right. That's going to be a fun concept for everybody going forward as far as just the protocol. I tell you what, Kim, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back and get some of these things worked out for you. How about that?
Okay. You get my seating chart worked out by the time we come back.
We'll do. We'll be right back here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. When we've come up with some more questions for you, Ken, since the break.
Since I've given you no answers.
these are just, I guess, things you probably already have thought about, or still a question for you. Now, when you say the kids are masked on the bench, do they have their own mask that they will take off and keep somewhere if they go in the game? How does that work?
Yes, and I haven't figured out yet where they're going to put that mask and keep up with it, but they're going to have to, I guess, put it on the chair, but then you got somebody else coming over to sit down. So,
well, that would be a next question.
We'll work that out later.
Are the subs allowed to sit in the other person's chair?
Good question. I haven't seen anything addressing that yet.
So maybe you might have to have 15 seats for the players,
right,
6 feet apart.
It would be 9 feet. So
that's the entire, high school gym floor is only 80, 81, 82?
84.
So we're 6 feet short, even on the high school floor, to get all your kids and one staff member on the bench. And if you play at Owsley County, there's no way to sit there. So that's probably why they did that.
Probably so.
So now that these rules apply, I mean, you're not the only one starting. Middle school basketball also starts, I think, in 2 weeks. Soccer starts next week, and football starts next week. Have you talked to any of the other coaches about what their protocols are?
No, I glanced at them last week, but there were so many on volleyball that I really didn't get to go through many of them. Somebody told me today that middle school basketball girls would have, at Wolf County at least, they would have no warm-up.
Wow.
So I don't know if that is true or correct, but that's just what I heard today, and I thought, well, that's just, in my opinion, that's injury asking to happen if you don't.
Well, no, I don't disagree with that at all. And this is just coming. You know, we had Mike Jones on here last week, and the problem that I felt with football, and you can relate to this as well, the first week in pads and helmets from contact will be Monday for the football team, and they play on Friday.
And play that Friday night.
Yeah, so. Now, the KHSA guideline, I know KHSA guidelines are kind of gone, but the KHSA guideline gives you, what, 2 weeks of contact for acclimation before you play? Yeah, so we're violating all kinds of these safety protocols, which is not good.
Well, no, it isn't. But, you know, in volleyball, we're just glad to be starting the season and getting that going.
Yeah, I understand.
As far as we can.
But it seems like we're protecting from COVID as well as we can, but we're not necessarily protecting from injury as well as we can. And I'm not talking about volleyball. I'm talking about, you know, in fall sports in general. If they're doing these kinds of protocols, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, volleyball, we do get to warm up, so we're good there.
Is there a time limit that you can play?
Time limit to play? No, just two sets out of three.
Okay. I had heard earlier that they may...
Of course, there's a time limit on the warm-up time, of course, and they've got that specified, so...
Okay, now between games, you won't have to clear the gym due to this?
No, we don't. We're not going to change benches this year between sets either.
Okay.
So that'll cut down on that. They won't have to run out and sanitize the chairs in between sets. They will have to between varsity and JV.
Correct. So there will be a slight break between the two games, but that's where they can do the warm-ups. To get ready for their game, correct?
Right. Uh-huh.
So now, will you still switch sides, even though you won't necessarily switch benches as far as, like, the players on the court?
Not unless there's a distinct, I'm trying to think the way they phrased it, if there's a distinct disadvantage to playing one side or the other, and I was told there was only one gym in the region that had that, so they'll have to work that out.
So would anybody have an advantage on either side?
I'm not sure. Maybe like the one gym that we went to a few years back, and there was an overhang right over where the server was. So they allowed you one extra. If you tried to serve and hit that overhang, it came back down, and you got another one. Got a mulligan.
At that one gym?
So, right. Now, the gym they were talking about this season, I've never been in it, so okay. I know that's hard to believe.
Well, you know, I mean,
I don't know.
I guess it's a new old gym, I guess.
One end of the floor may be higher than the other. I don't know. You may be hitting downhill and uphill.
I mean, you think indoors on a basketball floor that it would be pretty level as far as
you would hope.
Playing, you would think that, but who knows that. The things that come out of this stuff is kind of funny. I mean, I get some of the distancing stuff. Again, if you don't do it, you can't play.
Right.
I mean, I get all that, and it's good to have. I maybe need to talk to Mr. Brewer to see what his thoughts are so far, because there has to be a plan in place. It's already Wednesday. You play on Monday. That's a holiday, so you can't just figure out what you're doing on Friday, on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? It pretty much needs to be done.
We may figure it out Monday afternoon.
That's people are filing in, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we just call it in. So, I'm sure they'll work it out just as soon as possible, but I'm antsy, and I'm sure everybody else is.
Well, there is and I'm not knocking that, there is a lot to work out. I mean, this is a large undertaking, and you had a last week with the Board of Education meeting. That could have changed what the KHSA did. Then you kind of work kind of on pins and needles, so it's hard to get all the prep done when you are still concerned about what people are going to do.
Right. We get new directive, new guidance every day from somebody, seems like. So sometimes it conflicts, sometimes it agrees. So it's just day to day.
All right. We'll let you go for another break here. We'll be right back with more from Ken Jones here on WSKV. On PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Welcome back to PCSN Live. I got one more question, then I'm going to turn Ken Simon loose with some questions for you. But you said Owsley County had already come out with a statement that no fans allowed. Do you have any idea what if they plan on letting media in to at least video and broadcast the game?
Well, I would think so. You know, they've got the press box over there, so I wouldn't see any harm in it.
Because I do know that WSKV is planning on, when we broadcast a game, we're doing a live stream video along with the radio. So we're going to have that offer available for folks. And again, I think it's a kind of a neat deal, especially with COVID. At least if you are limited to fans, then you can at least watch it on the streaming.
Right.
All right. Here's Ken. He's got some questions for you.
All right. Really, okay. Just really want to, you know, as far as like you analyzing your team in a sense, you know, tell us kind of who you have back as far as, you know, core players, what your outlook is as far as for the season, and then district and even region wise, who you looking at as far as your tough competition.
Yeah. Well, you want to go individual first?
That'd be fine, sure.
Right now on the roster, I've got 6 seniors coming up. So. Wow. We're kind of top heavy. Last year we had 5, and we'll sure miss all of those. But so far this year, we're looking pretty good. We've got Keely Anderson is back. Other seniors, Lauren Everman, setter, Alex Gully, and Alex has improved quite a bit since last year on her hitting. Katie Hall, Macy Howell, and Hannah Jones. That's the 6 seniors.
That's a lot of experience you have, really, with those players, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and I'm tickled to death with them. I don't have to stop and explain every move, but got some juniors coming up. Joanna Centers is back. Joanna was 7th in the state in blocks last year, and she's grown another inch or two and blocking every day in practice. Trying to look down my list here. Anna Crabtree's coming on strong. She's a junior. And the other junior is Trinity Ritchie. She's one to watch, a little digger in the back row. So I'm looking for a pretty good season, really. We've got a ton of experience.
Do you have any underclassmen that are look promising for that'll help you out on the varsity level?
Well, you know, Chloe Grader is, you know, one of the most athletic girls we've got in the school. She's playing. Mallory Porter, I think you know Mallory.
Yep.
She's doing well. Of course, Sierra Johnson, after the accident, she is out, it looks like.
Yeah.
So, they're coming on. The JV last year was 17-1. They lost the first game of the season and didn't lose another one. So
that's impressive.
Yeah, we've got some coming on.
Now, Chloe had a little issue. Is she doing okay now?
Right now, she's okay. She goes back in a week or so to see on her treatments and you know the deal on that one.
Yeah. I haven't talked to her in a while, so I just trying to get that info real quick out of you.
Well, yeah, she's been coming to practice every day and working hard. So,
well, that's who she is.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, keep the prayers going for her.
So now, district wise, what are you looking at? How would you assess each one of the teams there? Let's start with Lee County.
Well, Lee County is capable. You know, they improved 100% last year from the first time we played them to the second. I think we got them 3-0 both times, but that second match. Second match was a couple of close sets, so you know they'll. I'm hoping they don't improve too much this year as it goes by. I think we got them in the second match last year. Last set was 25-23. So they'll be pretty good. I don't have their personnel right in front of me.
Sure. What about Owsley County? What do you see in them?
Owsley, truthfully, I don't know. Owsley's kind of hard to read as usual. Last year, we killed them in September. Of course, that doesn't mean a thing. And then district tournament-wise, we got them in three sets again. And individual players, again, I don't know.
Yeah, they're sometimes they don't always come back to second, third, or third year, but they sometimes have really good teams too. So, I would have thought with their basketball players that they might all play volleyball and be pretty impressive.
And then
County, you know, that's always a war. I mean, there's nothing held back in the game between us and Estill. No. I look for the same thing this year.
When is your matchup with Estill County?
Estill County is not until late, October 1.
Okay.
September 26th at home.
September 26th, which is a Saturday, but that's the only date we could work out with this short season. So September 26th and October 1.
So right, really back-to-back almost. Yeah.
Almost. Uh-huh.
So even within the region, who do you look as far as, you know, besides your own team, and obviously, you know, you think you're the cream of the crop, as you should, but who else within the region do you see, you know, being real competitive?
Well, KVCA preseason poll ought to be coming out. Today's Wednesday. It ought to come out tomorrow or Friday. They usually get one in a little bit early. Wolf County's going to be tough again. They'll be up there in the top four or five. Breathitt County, got to put them in there. Never count out Letcher, Leslie, Knott. And I'm probably leaving somebody out that I shouldn't. But
how does Perry, does Perry usually have a decent team in volleyball?
Excuse me?
Perry, are they decent usually in volleyball?
Perry Central?
Yeah.
They've not been very successful in the past few years. Okay. I don't know how much change it'll make, but they changed coaches this year.
Well, you just think sometimes the biggest school might have sometimes a better selection, but
I don't know, for some reason or other, they've never been able to get their volleyball. Well, I'm not going to say never. In the last 6-7 years, they haven't been able to get the program really going. Prior to that, they were pretty good.
Where is the region this year, district and region this year?
District will be at Estill. Region, they still haven't told me yet.
Where was district last year?
Our place, Powell
okay.
County.
I was thinking, region was at Estill last year, right?
Region was at Estill,
okay.
Right.
I got you.
So we'll rotate over to Estill for district, and Board of Control will have to decide, write it down, and let us all know where the region is.
So that has not been determined as of yet?
Well, if it has, I can't find out.
Who was it supposed to have been in rotation?
I don't know. The rotation wasn't written down after last year.
Okay. So this would have started a new cycle for you?
Right. On the KHSAA side, it's just blank.
Gotcha.
How do you see as far as starting off in the, you know, within the first 2 weeks, basically, you're repeating playing Bath at home and then away on the 15th, and then you have Lee at home on the 9th, and then Lee away on the 17th, and then Buckhorn kind of sandwiched in between there. Are there any advantages to playing a team twice within a short period of time?
Well, sometimes there is, but this time it's just the dates and all the changes we had to make. We were supposed to have started August the, 18th?
Yeah.
So they chopped 2 weeks off the season, and all of us had to scramble and find some open dates and get it together.
See, now, some of the coaches that don't schedule as many games didn't have as many problems as you did, though, right?
Right. we had a full schedule. But
yeah, there's not many seasons where Coach Ken Jones doesn't have a full schedule going.
And this year is the limit is 24.
So have you got 24 scheduled?
No, I couldn't. The bylaw 23 won't let you play over 4 per week.
So you're still restricted. You couldn't get them in. Daggone it. What about tournament play? Are they having tournaments this year?
Well, we had to drop out of the Berea. It was early. August 24th, I think, was when he had it scheduled. The Dink Scott, we're probably going to have to drop out of it. So, you know, at 4 a week, and you can average out the week before and the week after.
And see, I'm thinking but softball numbers. You can play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, but you can't play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, correct?
No, that doesn't apply in volleyball.
Okay, so I know, well, our rules were we could play, you could play 6 days or 6 games a week. You can play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that didn't count because it was a Friday, Saturday weekend. So that doesn't apply for volleyball?
Volleyball, they're going 4 games a week, and it's Sunday to Saturday.
Okay.
So they changed that. If you remember, way back in the day, they started the week on Thursday to count that.
Okay. So that's a little bit different, I guess.
It would have worked out better for us on the tournament, but
yeah.
So as far as the tournament, the one that was supposed to be over at Montgomery County, so you're going to probably have to back out of that one to not exceed the 4 games. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, I have juggled it around. I can't work it in there and get 4 games per week.
And the Berea tournament, you guys have participated in that Berea tournament for how many years? I mean, that's you all been doing that for a long time.
Right, but Jared decided he was just going to cancel it and not try to have it after all this year. So
well, I know
that one's gone.
I know one thing. If you had an invitational tournament set up this year with maybe, let's say, 16 teams and you had one gym, that was going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, they put it in the requirements that you have. If you have like 8 teams, if you have 2 gyms.
Yeah.
2 facilities, so.
And you still
covered
had to,
that pretty well.
And you still had to clear out and sanitize in between sessions with 2 different teams, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That would, like I said, that's kind of a nightmare scenario for a lot of people, and a lot of people, I'm sure, have opted not to do some of those.
Right. Well, you've been in the barn.
Yeah.
And if I were the workers over there, I would hate to have to sanitize all those seats.
Yeah, you're right.
In between.
It would be a near nightmare. I mean, I'm sure that you only have certain restricted areas, but you know, if you have a good crowd, then what would it hurt to have, you know, different kind of seating? But those are kind of nightmare situations, Coach. We got another break to take, but I'm gonna let you go after this one. So, have you got anything else you want to share with us before we let you go?
I don't have anything, but if we are allowed fans, I'll let you know, and I hope we get a gym full.
Well, it sounds great. You know, the way we looked at it, you know, the KTSA mentioned 25 to 35% would be a good number. And for us,
we might see 3,500, so that would be what?
Well, yeah, that would be a normal crowd plus a couple hundred, right?
Right.
So
it'll work out.
It'll all work out in the end. I think they'll do a good job, and let's hope the fans are, and if not, we'll try to cover it and let you guys know. We'll have them on video and do some things like that. But wish you the best of luck, Coach. Probably won't be there on Monday for you, but I think Ken will be. But again, wish you the best of luck and good luck to the Volleyball Lady Pirates this year.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Now we'll step away for break. You're on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protex Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protex Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
Welcome back to PCSN Live. That was kind of a short break there, but we'll take it. Again, thanks to Ken Jones for really providing us with a lot of information, but a lot of questions as well. So a very informative call with Coach Jones.
He's always on top of his game. I mean, not, no pun intended. I mean, but he truly is. Like, he knows the in and out workings and everything. And if he has that information, he's going to share it and everything. But so many unanswered questions, especially as it relates to the fans and coming in and the seating and all of that. But it doesn't matter if it's volleyball and or we transition over to soccer and or even football. It's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of plays out.
Well, here's the. I'm going to say this is the negative of this, is volleyball is going to be looked at as the training ground for basketball. This is how you have the games played. And see, to me, that is sad, because volleyball is volleyball. You shouldn't worry about how this is going to look and how this is going to be affected, what changes we can make for basketball. I understand you learn about what you can do. But you got to worry about one sport at a time, and then you move on. You got a middle school basketball season coming up. You don't know what their protocols are, if they're any different. I will say the gym size is much less at the Powell County Middle School as it is at Powell County High School. So if you have I don't know what their capacity is, maybe 1,000, I would think. If their pack capacity is 25%, that's 250 folks in the stands. If you go to a middle school game, normally you probably get that many people, because you know what? You got 20 players on one team, 20 players on the other. If you got two parents, you got 80 just in parents and grandparents, maybe 100. So that's normally your huge fan base anyway, are the caregivers. But man, I tell you, it's a lot of work on your ADs and your administration to get these numbers lined out. In coordination with the health department.
It'll be interesting to see what transpires under those. I think as far as using volleyball as that example, the other thing I can think is that the benches, how you're setting up your benches and or then how you're even staggering fans. But the advantage that Powell has, you've got a lower arena and an upper arena, mm-hmm. So therefore you can spread people out in a sense as far as, you know, that social distancing. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how we're able to go forward. But I will say this, as far as the volleyball team, I didn't realize that he had six seniors. And to think that a lot of game experience, even though he had five seniors last year, this group has a lot of experience coming in. And obviously he can even go to his bench some players that had some playing time as well. So looking forward to watching this group.
Had probably as much playing time last year as the seniors did.
So yeah, distributed.
Yeah, this is a very experienced Lady Pirate volleyball team going in. And, you know, these are the teams that, like you talk about, you know, we lost a softball season. And it just depends on what you have that year. You know, if you're really, oh, man, that's horrible, or this is bad, or whatever it is. But you always feel for your seniors. We only had two in softball. They would have had six in volleyball, and the numbers are usually different as far as a little bit more as far as your rosters are concerned in softball. But the varsity, the total numbers are usually bigger in volleyball for varsity, freshmen, and JV. But when you look at, you know, having six seniors, that's a lot. That's a lot of kids. And you can tell why, you know, coach didn't want to lose a season and all this stuff. And hopefully they'll get to play an entire season without cutting this thing short. I do worry about that later on, as far as you get some outbreaks or you get some spikes, and I think you'll have some administrators say, okay, we're pulling the plug.
Yeah, I think that with this particular team, as far as what they're kind of be coming in, and obviously it's going to start, mm-hmm. You know, let's hope we can at least get to Monday, right, that it's at least going to start, and let's hope that it continues on with this group and it doesn't necessarily get cut short or anything. I think what's interesting is that he said that Alex Gulley has improved, as well as Joanna Centers. And if Joanna Centers has added some height, she was already pretty tall. And I mean, I didn't realize,
over
I know,
6 foot.
Yeah. And I knew, like, you know, she was one of those top players as far as blocks and everything, but to think that she was top seven.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. But again, I knew that she was, you know, had a lot of blocks in a sense, but to think, okay, you're bringing, you know, players as far as that he's saying have improved, and not that they all haven't improved, because I know that they have, but at the same time, realizing you've got two players right in there like that can, you know, kind of handle that front line in a sense, in addition to Macy Howe.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, he's talking about your setters and those in the back line that can actually dig, kind of go along that.
I tell you, Ken always figures out which kids play the best back line, best front line. Mixes them in well. The kids seem to take it well that they're coming out for a sub that's going to play better on the back line. So he usually does a really good job of getting his kids lined up as far as their skill levels on each position. And I tell you what, I don't think a lot of folks understand how good of a job he does with producing a lot of talent in their areas. And, you know, he'll play 9 or 10 or 11 kids in that group and be the best he can be toward the end of the season. Now, again, we hope this year, as he said, the first game of each district game will be the seed game if the others are somehow missed. And again, we have to throw this out there. The health department and the school systems can cancel at any time for whatever reason they see fit. If there's a health concern, they can jump in and do something. You know, if, let's say, for an example, Powell County played Warren Central, which not going to happen, but, you know, with the numbers of cases they're having in Warren County, and you played Powell County, I can see somebody in our district saying, okay, we're not playing Warren because of their cases of COVID, because of their percentage rate. You know, we're not playing those teams. I can see that happening. Or if there's a big spike somewhere of a lot of cases in a school, well, okay, we're not playing that particular school at this point. So I can see where people would step in. I hope they don't just cancel seasons arbitrarily. I hope they just maybe put a limit on how many cases your district can have before you can play the games.
Well, and obviously that's an issue that potentially could be worked out between districts.
Yes.
Whether it's the superintendents, athletic directors, et cetera, to determine, okay, are we still good to go or are we not?
Correct.
Like you said, as opposed to going back to, you know, the state level, KHSAA, and as opposed to them coming in, I think at this point they're just like, it's happening. We're going to leave things up to, you know, the local
districts.
Yeah, in order to decide what it is that they're going to do or not do.
It's kind of something I've learned about government here this year is everybody kind of pushes it down to the local people and then puts the blame on someone else. And it's just kind of, and this happened always. It seems like the buck is getting passed somewhere, you know, and again, somebody's got to be responsible. And here, I guess here locally, it'll be our superintendent board of education, athletic directors. Those will be the, and the health department, those are going to be the guys that are kind of govern what's going to go on the rest of the season here. But that being said, that's why they make big bucks, I guess, right?
I wish, yeah, you're exactly right. I almost wish in hindsight that I would have asked him in a sense as far as like who's going to be that one player in a sense, like that Sierra Dawson last year, as far as being able to come in on that front line to get those kill shots. You know, obviously Hannah Jones, you know, been playing for several years now. Great setter, you know, as far as like being using her in that role, right, in a sense to set up. But yet, okay, is it Joanna Centers? Is it Alex Goley? Like, who is that player in a sense that he potentially would be looking to set up? Like, you know,
I would
Sierra
think what
Dawson
you just said. I think it's Alex, Joanna, Macy, that core group of three.
And then how are they even used, especially with the height that they actually have,
correct,
on that front line? What's his rotation look like in order to get them
one
appropriate
triangle
times?
That way you've got two of those girls on the front line at all times. That's just, I don't know. He knows more than I do. He's probably still.
He does, and we'll find out hopefully on Monday. Again, looking forward to it. Just realizing that the talent of this team that he has coming back with what they have with that core and everything. I mean, that honestly, the sky's the limit. But he consistently, though, that's one thing about a Ken Jones team you can count on. They're always consistent. And always he's able to bring out the best in those players, you know, to where they know what their role is and they follow that role and they win collectively as a team and see it through. And I always look forward to it. You know, it doesn't matter to me whether it's his volleyball teams or even his basketball teams. You know that that's, yeah, they are definitely prepped.
Well, I mean, in volleyball, they serve well, they return well, they volley well. Now, getting over the hump, how well are you going to block? How well are you going to kill? Those are the two things that are this team is probably lacking, but I'm not saying that we don't do it well, but we do everything else so well. It's just, that's the consistency part. You have to beat Powell County. Powell County is usually not going to beat themselves. That's just kind of the way I look at it. So, again, good luck to the volleyball team. The first sporting event we've covered since February. So,
yes.
it's been a while, 6 months without sports. Is a long time. Well, again, we'll start up next Monday night. Plan to listen here on WSKV 104.9 at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and I will say this, too. Like you said earlier, WSKV will be doing video streaming of these games, whether it's volleyball, whether it's football, et cetera. Whatever game we're covering, they will definitely be streaming live if you're unable to actually show up and attend or don't feel comfortable attending live. We'll definitely be streaming on WSKVFM.com.
Yeah, check it out, folks. Again, we're going to take a break here on PCSN Live. Actually, we'll see you sometime in the near future here. But we may not be on next week. May have a recorded show. But again, hopefully everything goes well. We'll see you sometime here on PCSN Live. Here with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Mount St-